Well, God is good, isn't He? God is good. You know, I love those moments in life when you get to experience God's goodness. In those moments of time when you're struggling with certain things, you're not sure how to go through something, and God puts in your path a reminder or a story or something to help encourage you along that way. And I talk about this morning because that was, I want to share with how God recently did that in my life. And in fact, it was preparing for this morning's message. You know, I was having a lot of trouble deciphering what to talk about this morning. You know, I'm not sure if you know this, but coming up with a message on the foothills of a sermon series titled Spiritual Warfare is not the easiest thing. And you know, maybe my own pride and fear was getting in the way, and that was causing me to not decipher what God was leading on me to. And it wasn't the fear or pride of trying to outdo or do as well as Jim in his sermon series, but rather it was my fear of and pride of wanting to bring glory to God and to you, for you guys to come out of this place with that renewed sense of wanting to serve and devote yourself to Him through the week. And anyway, as I was having trouble deciphering, as I was praying to God, what do you want me to talk about here, Lord? You gotta give me something. I was sitting in my office and I was searching around YouTube, and which sometimes isn't the best thing to do when you're having trouble getting somewhere. But I was searching around YouTube and I was listening to some sermons. And I was listening to a sermon by Shane Claiborne that he gave at Duke University Chapel a few years back. And if you don't know who Shane Claiborne is, friends, I would suggest you get to know him. He's a wonderful man of God, doing a wonderful work in the inner city of Philadelphia with his organization called Simple Way. Does amazing things with the homeless, drug addicts, downtrodden, marginalized, social activist. Just a wonderful man. I actually got to visit with him for a bit while he talked at our school. Just a really cool guy that seeks after God. Written a couple profound books, one being Jesus for President, and the other The Irresistible Revolution. I would suggest you checking him out if you don't know him. Anyway, enough plug on Shane Claiborne. He should pay me a little bit. Anyway, Shane Claiborne was giving this sermon, and as he was giving it, there was something in there that reminded him of the story of E.V. Hill. Now, E.V. Hill was an old African-American Baptist preacher who pastored a church in Los Angeles for over 40 years. And as Pastor Hill was reminiscing and recalling stories of his time in ministry, his time spent in the pulpit, and more specifically with the lives he encountered under his care as pastor, he came to this story of this elderly woman early on in his ministry. And as E.V. Hill tells it, here's how he tells it. He says, this old lady was so strong in her faith, so faithfully devoted in her love for Jesus, and just about as faithful in her devotion of being front and center each Sunday morning at church. Now, this old lady's church attendance and her faithfulness to Jesus, although admirable and encouraging, isn't what encouraged me in the story. Rather, it was what E.V. Hill said about this lady that encouraged me. He says, as I would preach, I would always hear this soft voice front and center every week saying, "Get to the good news, preacher." He says, I would be preaching about the wickedness and terribleness and the just harsh realities of the world, and yet this soft voice would be calling out, get to the good news, preacher. He says, I'd be preaching about injustice and oppression, and yet this faint voice would be calling out, get to the good news, preacher. He says, I'd be preaching about sin and division and everything that comes with the devil's tactics, and this lady would be sitting there and saying, get to the good news, preacher. Well, then that moment in the service would come where E.V. Hill says, I would get to that point where I'd talk about salvation in the name of Jesus alone, the empty tomb. And that is when this old faithful lady would stand up and with her fist raised say, there's the good news, preacher. Preach that news. That encouraged me, friends. I no longer had trouble deciphering what to talk about this morning. I want to preach the good news. I want to partake in the joy of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That is good news. And I hope that's what we accomplish here this morning, is learning a little bit about the good news, but also the profound nature of how Jesus taught that good news and what it meant to the people that he was teaching it to. And so, as we move forward, and if you'll give me the opportunity to tell you the good news, and if you'll listen to the good news, I suppose we should begin by opening the good book. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them up to Isaiah. If you don't, Tim's going to have it up on the big screen. I'm not going to shame you if you don't have your Bibles. Although shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. If you don't have them, that's all right. Tim will have it up on the big screen. But you can open your Bibles up to Isaiah 12, chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I suppose I should go there too. Isaiah chapter 12. Get there. All right. Everyone there? Good. This is Isaiah's song of praise. We're reading through chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. It begins, on that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have had compassion on me. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid, because Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, celebrate his deeds among the peoples. Declare that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and sing, citizen of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in his greatness. A song of praise indeed. Amen? Amen. Beautiful words from the prophet. But there's a verse in there that I really want you to keep at front and center of your mind as we move through our scripture readings this morning. And that's verse 3. Tim, if you could pull up verse 3 for us. This is the verse I want you to keep in mind as we move through our scripture reading this morning. And we'll understand. It'll come to light in the teaching of Jesus. Verse 3, let me read that for you. If you see it up there, it says, you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. All right, we got that on the front of our mind right now, right? We know that. Springs of salvation, water. Water, salvation. That's on our mind. Okay, let's move ahead then to Zechariah. Zechariah is toward the end of the Old Testament. In fact, it's Zechariah, Malachi, and then you got the New Testament. So you're right there at the end. We're turning to chapter 14. Remember Isaiah's words, water, salvation. Now we're coming to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it toward the eastern sea, and the other half toward the western sea, in summer and winter alike. On that day, Yahweh will become king over all the earth, Yahweh alone, and His name alone. Again, we're seeing this common thread between Isaiah and Zechariah. You see that common thread? What is it? Water? Water? But Isaiah was making water and salvation. Water and salvation. Here we see Zechariah making a combination of water and kingship. On that day, Yahweh will rule. Kingship. He will be king. Okay, so now we got water, salvation, water, kingship. Let's go over to John. Let's go over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and you're going to leaf through, page down, finger down, until you get to verse 37. There it is. Okie dokie. Got it. John 7, 37 says, "On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him.'" He said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive. For the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, friends, we have that water salvation in Isaiah, water kingship in Zechariah, and now Jesus is talking about a thirst. Jesus is talking about a thirst. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Now, there is a profound understanding here of what Jesus is saying. But to understand the profoundness of what Jesus is saying, we need to take ourselves out of our own frame of reference of understanding Jesus through the 2,000 years of worship that we often accompany it with, and rather go back into that place in time and hear the words that Jesus was saying on that day. If we can do that, we begin to understand the profoundness of what Jesus was saying to those who were hearing and listening. And so, we must begin by understanding what the day was. Remember, verse 37 says, "On the last and most important day of the festival." Anyone know what festival we're talking about here? Festival of the... If you got a Bible like mine that's got the nice headings, you can page maybe back and even see. Oh! Mine says the Festival of the Tabernacles. The Festival of the Tabernacles is where we are at right now. We are in the day and time of the Festival of the Tabernacles. It's the last and most important day. Alright? Now, who knows anything about the Festival of the Tabernacles? Show of hands, anybody know anything about the Festival of the Tabernacles? I'm sure Pastor Les knows a little bit about it, but how about anybody else? Good. Here's our learning opportunity for the day, friends. Our learning opportunity of the day. Woo! All right. Here we go. The Festival of the Tabernacles. I'm just going to give you a little bit brief overview of the festival that will help us understand what Jesus was saying here. Okay? And so the Festival of the Tabernacles was the seventh and final feast that was given to the Israelites. Okay? It lasted 8 days. Now, its proper name in Hebrew is Sukkot. S-U-K-K-O-T. Sukkot. And it was because it is called Sukkot because during this festival, families would construct a sukkah, which was a hut. Okay? And in this hut is where they prepared and made and ate all their meals during those 8 days of the festival. Now, the importance of this sukkah is that it was used as a reminder for the Israelites. It was a reminder of the huts that they used during their 40-year sojourn following the Exodus from Egypt. Okay? So that's why it's called Festival of the Tabernacle. Tabernacle, dwelling. You know, John 1:14, He dwelt among us. In the original, it's called He tabernacled among us. Dwelling, He came down and dwelled. So a tabernacle is a dwelling. So obviously the sukkah is the dwelling that reminds them of the dwellings that God provided and that they had during the Exodus period. The last thing that's important to remember, and probably the most important thing to remember, is that this holiday or feast represented a time of renewed fellowship with God. A time where they renewed their fellowship with God. This is important, friends. Keep that in mind. This is important when we come and understand the good news that we want to be talking about this morning. Sometimes this gets left out by the wayside. And so we want to remember that renewed relationship this morning, that renewed fellowship with God. But it also was a time, again, sukkah, the huts. So it was a reminder of the sheltering care and the provisions that God provides. So that's a little bit about the Festival of the Tabernacles, a brief overview, but it gives us a little bit of knowledge. You have that now. Somebody tells you, hey, let's go celebrate the Festival of the Tabernacles. I know what that is. I know what that is. But, again, we talked about that there was a profound of what Jesus said in what we read this morning. There's a profoundness in it. And it happened to happen on the last day. Now, if you saw in your bulletins this morning, if you looked on there and there, you maybe saw the title of the sermon, Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah. Now, I know you're probably thinking, what in the Sam Hill is going on around here? Jim's gone 1 week and this guy's bringing some foreign language into the sermon titles? What? Bear with me, friends. Bear with me. It has good meaning. It has good meaning. Okay? Now, the last day was the most important day of the festival, right? Well, why was it the most important? Why was it the most important? Well, it was the most important because it was the great salvation. This was the day the great salvation was celebrated. Great salvation, Hoshana Rabbah. Great salvation, Hoshana Rabbah. You see, this is the day that the people would parade around the altar of God. Parade around the altar of God, and they would recite a saying, and it would be something like, Hoshana Ana, Hoshana Ana. Save us, please. Save us, please. The great salvation. But there was something more to this. There was something more to this, friends. On that day, as they were seeking God's salvation on that day, there was a ceremony. There was a ceremony. And what this ceremony, I can't even pronounce it in the Hebrew, so I'm just going to pronounce it in the English. It was the water drawing ceremony. The rabbis would exit one gate, draw water, come around and enter a specific gate, and they would put it with wine at the altar, and this would signify the drawing of water from the springs of salvation coming to the altar and showing God their thirst for deliverance. Friends, are there lights going on? Are there lights going on? I see some people remembering what Isaiah said. I see some lights thinking what Jesus said, putting this together. Ah, I see. I kind of see where he's going here. I could see what's happening. You see, the water drawing ceremony was part of the plea for salvation. They were drawing water out of the springs of salvation, bringing it to the altar of God and seeking His salvation. Seeking His salvation. They were thirsting and longing for their deliverance. The water drawing ceremony, friends, was one of the most joyous, if not the most joyous, ceremonies of all the ceremonies in all the festivals throughout Israel. This was the ceremony that everyone celebrated. In fact, the Mishnah, which is a rabbinic writings on scripture and traditions and customs, said that after the water drawing ceremony, the rabbis would have juggling and dancing contests. They would be celebrating with juggling and dancing and eating and drinking and fellowship and lighting of candles. They say they lit candles that were so large that shadows had no place in Jerusalem. Night became brighter than day during the festival. This was a joyous time, friends. But do you see, friends, now, do you start to understand where Jesus is coming from, the profoundness of His teaching here? Let me tell you, if we're able to take ourselves out of our own framework of seeing Jesus worshipped as God for 2,000 years, and rather, again, be there that night, there that day, during that last and most important day, during Hoshana Rabbah. If we're there that day, we've just paraded around the altar of God. We've seeked His salvation. We've seen the water drawing ceremony that is symbolized and displayed our thirst for His salvation. We've shown this. Now we're celebrating in it. We're celebrating in it. And yet we're going around, we're fellowshipping, we're having a great time. Teachers are teaching, rabbis are teaching. And we come to this group of people. We come to this group of people. Oh, this is that Jesus. I don't know, this guy has that big following. They're going around the countryside. He's here? I got to sit down and listen to what He's got to say. I've shown my thirst. I have a thirst for God. What does Jesus say? If you are thirsty, come to Me and drink. I thought we already did that. Ah, the good news, friends. The good news is that we no longer draw water from the springs of salvation, but rather from the spring of salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our spring of salvation, friends. But the beauty thing in this, friends, again, remember I said that what was the festival, the holiday represented? It represented a time of renewed fellowship, of renewed relationship with God. And that's the beautiful thing about what Jesus is saying here. Oftentimes we think if you're thirsty, come to Me. Oftentimes we take that to mean you don't know Jesus, so you're thirsting for something. So if you want salvation, you better come to Him. But it's more than that, friends. Maybe some of you are sitting here and saying, I do have a personal relationship with Him. I've made that. I've tasted His waters of salvation. Yet, lately, I've been lacking in my faith. Yet, I've been lacking in my walk with Him. Things have been tough. Things have preoccupied my time. I haven't been in prayer as much as I like to be. I haven't opened the Bible in I don't know how long. Maybe this morning you're thirsty for that renewed relationship, friends. Good news! Jesus is the spring of salvation. He is the spring of renewed relationship. He is the bridge to the Father. Friends, that's the good news. That's the good news. Friends, if you are here this morning, maybe you've been here a long time. Maybe you've come week after week, yet this morning, God's telling you, I know your thirst. I know your thirst. And you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe you haven't tasted that water of salvation yet. Maybe you haven't tasted that water of kingship yet. See, there's a twofold aspect. That's why those two Old Testament passages were so important, is that Jesus is salvation, but Jesus is also Lord. He is also King. It doesn't just stop at our acknowledging of Him as our Savior. Is He our Lord? Is He our ruler? Is He our King? Taste that water this morning, friends. There shouldn't be, I know we're all thirsty. We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't thirst for God, right? Amen? Amen. We're here because we're thirsting for God. There's some area in our life where we are thirsting for God. The good news is that Jesus can quench that thirst, friends. And so this morning, if there's a way, there shouldn't be, we have an altar call every week, and we're going to have it today, and it's going to be a little bit different. But friends, if you want to renew your relationship with Jesus, which every one of us in here should want to renew that in a deeper and more powerful way, there shouldn't be anybody that's not coming forward this morning. If you want to come forward and begin that salvational relationship with Jesus, you don't know Him, come forward this morning, friends, and take that salvation. Remember what's said in Romans, friends. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're feeling a little short this morning, friends, if you're feeling a little short of that glory, come this morning and take on the glory of Christ Jesus. He clothed us in His righteousness. Be clothed in it this morning. That's the good news, friends. That's the good news. That this morning you can take on the clothing of Christ's righteousness. Be bold in that taking. Be bold in it. This isn't something to be ashamed of or to think about and to think, who's going to be watching me? All eyes are going to be on me. I can't go up front in front of everybody. Oh boy. Friends, we're at church. People are not looking at you like you're strange or weird. They're looking at you and saying, praise God for their boldness. Now, Lord, give me the boldness to go through with it as well. So if you want to come forward this morning and meet Jesus for the first time, come forward. If you want to come forward and have your relationship renewed with Jesus and have that thirst quenched, come forward. But we're going to do something a little bit different this morning, friends. We're going to do this during our closing song. I think our closing song is powerful. Tim's going to have it up on the screen there. It's got the lyrics. Maybe you just want to sit there and let those lyrics hit you. Maybe you just want to spend some time with God this morning. And maybe you just want to personally talk about your thirst with Him. Maybe you don't want to come up and pray with me or anyone else, but you want to pray to God and ask Him into your life here today. You want to ask Him into your life as Savior and Lord. And you can do that from your chair with Him by acknowledging that sinfulness, that need for Him to take away that unglorified self and clothe us in His righteousness and His saving grace. But let's just take this time to reflect. Close your eyes if you want to. Read the words on the screen, friends. They're powerful. They're powerful. Allow Jesus to mold us right now in this place. In this place. Allow His good news to come into your heart and flow and fill you up and flow out those living, that living water, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit residing inside you. The God of the universe residing and indwelling inside of you. No longer is this a festival of tabernacles, but we are the tabernacles, friends. We are the tabernacle of the Most High. We aren't celebrating a water drawing ceremony. We are drawing from the water. We are drawing from the well. If you guys need prayer, if anyone needs prayer for anything, come forward. If you need prayer for anything, come forward. All who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life, the pain and the sorrow. Be washed away, the waves of His mercy.
Spirit and the world.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. From the earliest followers, we cry out with them, come, Lord Jesus, come. You are the good news of salvation. You are the good news of kingship. Father, today we come to you and humbly bow before you and ask you to clothe us in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. I ask you to be with each one of these people as they go through the week, that you will continue to point out their thirst to them so that it may be quenched by your love, by your grace, by your mercy, by your holiness, by your righteousness. That they will seek after you in a new way so that the kingdom can be sought after by others in their midst. Father, we all have needs. We all have thirsts. And the only one, Jesus, the only one who can quench them is you. So come and quench. Quench the thirst of your people today. Bring us to your spring of salvation. Let us taste that good and great water. Fill us with the living water that flows out, God. I just ask for your blessings to be on these people. May you watch over them as they make their way home. Be with them this week, and that they may continue to focus and rely on you, Jesus. We thank you for the good news, Father. We thank you for Jesus. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.